Oh, yeah, I'm going to bring sword up, and then I'll drink. Okay, I've only heard that one 600 times. Okay. Right, yes. Well, we're here at last, and I can rest soon. I must say, the worst thing about this week was right at the beginning, when we went to our first meal, I think on the Sunday, and they had labels on the tables, and all the tables for us said, the Steve Maltz Foundation. actually, that's not meant to be funny. The point I'm trying to make is, this is not meant to be about me. In fact, it started out that way. Foundations 1, in a way, was an absolute disaster, because I'm the only one that knew what was going on, and that was only about that much that I knew. We came with a team, and we've now lost every one of that team. In fact, they never came back. Apart from Moira, and from what I remember from Moira, that she had a headache the whole weekend anyway. I had a team of one. There were other people there, but because I didn't know what I was doing, they knew even less. So when you go from Foundations 1 to Foundations 10, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, the team grows, and we pick people up and use them the next time, and that's how we function. So you would have noticed throughout the week a very wide variety of people doing things from the front. And of course, we encourage the rest of you, and I think probably most of you have contributed in some way, through show and tell or through prayer, Bible readings, etc. And that's how we want to do it. That's what Foundations is all about. It's this family, it's the empowerment, and literally it is about you rather than us. And it's always been a strange one because we've had about 500 people have been through Foundations over the years. We've been going nearly 7 years now. And yet we still struggle to get out 70 to 80 people every time. It's like God is just sifting. And it is a sense that you are the right people. You're the ones that should be here. There were others that almost made it, and others who have gone never to come back. But it's a sense that we just feel our ministry is maybe a little bit different, perhaps more challenging than most. So if you really feel challenged and come back and be challenged again, be re-challenged. But bear in mind, one day the floodgates will open and we'll all be turning people away. So that's a sort of a poor excuse for book early, please. We've had plenty last-minute bookings 2 days before the conference, but it worked. You've got your hit. I usually use proper notes, but I thought this time I'll be high tech. So I've lost where I am now. I'm working on another book. In fact, I've just finished another book, believe it or not, number 25. And some unlucky souls over the next couple of weeks will be getting the first draft for editing. So the teachers here, you've got a big task ahead of you. But in that book, it's leading up to our next conference, which I'll speak about in a minute, the One New Man conference in March. You should have had details in your packs. But in the book that I'm writing called Shalom, it's in the final half, it's looking at areas where the church has suffered through jettisoning elements of the Hebraic background. So I've sort of identified 7 areas where perhaps the Jewish community over the last 2,000 years have held on to these concepts, but the church in general has lost them. And I've encapsulated them in 7 or 8 Hebrew words. So, let's see the Hebrew scholars. We'll start off with an easy one. The first word is shalom. Shalom. So, what is shalom? What does that mean? Completeness. And I think what I'm trying to say is every one of these 8 things I've seen here over the last 5 days which is really, I mean, I'm just going through the list, and you'll realize that as I go through the list. So there has been shalom, peace, completeness, you know, and I think, yeah, that's one definitely. I'm just trying to read the rest of them. Okay, the next one, chayim, life. Well, life, you know, the church in general tends to be fairly lifeless, you know. I have to say that in general. And one thing you get at, you know, and I heard someone mention earlier, you just think of the wedding party at Fiddler on the Roof, elements of Jewish background. And my dad has brought me up with this word, chayim, except he used to say it in the wrong way. He used to say chayim, well, it doesn't really matter. But the way he did it was say that Jewish people have this chayim, like life, which the Gentiles don't have. So I was brought up with that idea, except when you see my family, you think, what a humorous lot they are, actually, most of them. And I don't know what he's talking about, but the Jewish people in general, when they get together, you know, weddings, bar mitzvahs, you know, there's always a lot of noise and it's life and the dancing. And we saw that here, the chayim. And the other word is simcha, joy. So life, joy, we've seen life, we've seen joy. We're going to see a lot of joy in a minute, you know, as long as I finish on time and you do get a chance to dance. maybe not. Right. Always gone back again. Right. The next one. Berachot. This is the Paul thing. Blessings. Well, blessings has definitely been a feature through the teaching, and I think we're going to be blessing each other more before the end of the morning. Mishpacha, family, so I don't need to say any more about that. Limud, study. And I think, she's skulking, there's a skulking person. Ignore her. She's very easy to ignore. She's so quiet and gentle. Right. So someone said in their teaching that in Jewish tradition, study is the highest form of worship, and I think the elements of study here, in that you'll get a message, but you won't just get the message. You get the full study package afterwards, you know, with the yeshiva and, you know, all the discussions. So that's very much a part of what we do, and we did that this week as well. What are we up to? Kadosh. Holiness. Yeah, well, holiness, you know, it's just being separate from the world, and it's being holy unto the Lord. And, you know, with those last two evenings, you know, this great sense, you know, of peace and holiness and reverence was, you know, you don't have to say any more about that, but it was very much a feature of this week. I hope you agree with me on that. Another word, interesting word, chesed. Yeah, well, chesed is, do you know there's 150 ways it's been translated over all the Bible translations. One of them is loving kindness. We have love, peace. There's a charity. There's just a whole wide. But if you want one definition, it's going above and beyond what's expected. And I've seen lots of chesed, you know, with individuals. And I hate to mention one, but I'm going to mention Nigel. What he did out there, nice and quietly, with his two ladies, one of whom was my wife, just sitting there patiently as they were carving out these spoons, something that must have taken about 7 hours or something, wasn't it? But, you know, just that chesed, you know, Nigel sort of didn't go to a few sessions in order to do that sort of act of kindness, chesed, charity. So, and I'm sure all of you can think of other examples throughout the week of people who have shown great chesed. So basically, the summary of that is, in my book, it's like, this is how the church should be. And here we are, and we've done it. So I think this is how the church should be. And I hope you will agree with that. All those elements that, you know, as I say, a lot have been lost in general by the church. You know, this is not a blanket condemnation of the wider church, but it'd be good to see all of those functioning all the time, you know, in our church meetings. So, okay. Right, okay, advert. Right, our son, Johnny, who you may, some of you have been, I think 2 years ago was the last time he came. He runs with his partner, with Chris, his ministry partner. They run a theatre company, and they did a little play here, I think. Those of you who go back to Foundations 2, they did a major play. But, even Monica was in that one. I think I was in it. I can't remember. They've got this production, which is absolutely amazing. I wish I could have someone independently say this, because I am a trustee and a father. But I am trying to be objective here. It's the year, the 100th anniversary of the First World War. It's called To War With God. And it's the story of a chaplain during the First World War who, and it's a true story, it's based on a book written by the grandson of the chaplain. And it's the story of this chaplain who sees all the horrific stuff on the front line, and you see him going from a cheeky, cheerful chappy to an empty, burnt-out shell. And then it's a story of redemption. Then you see a scene when he actually comes back. So it's a great story of God sort of not giving up on someone, and just how this man sacrificed so much. So they're performing all over the country. The first performance was on Wednesday, where all the trustees were there except one, all the parents were there except two, and they had a Q&A, and they had the daughter of the chaplain, who was like 90 something. She was there, and the author was there. They had a Q&A, but my other son Phil, who's the film cameraman, has videoed it. Parts of it, and there'll be a demo going. What I'm trying to say is that this is going to go on for the whole year. So they're looking for bookings anywhere in the country. They'll go anywhere. So if any of you want to know more, this is some information here about it, a bit of background here, which we'll sort of leave here. And just to pray about it, it'd be great if any of you are part of a church anywhere in the country. The proviso is they do charge £500 because there's three of them, and it is the most amazing production. There's only two of them in it, but it uses sound, light, sound effects, music. It's a whole multimedia production, and it is incredible. It's really, really moving, and even I was moved, believe it or not. This is where Monica, because I went to the dress rehearsal. Monica didn't, and if she had, she would have been a bit of a mess after, because it was very, very emotional. But it had a great ending. So they're next performing it in Blackheath in next Saturday. So tomorrow week, if any of you are interested, see me afterwards, and I'll show you what church it is. Then it's a £5 ticket or something. But apart from that, they're looking for bookings anywhere in the country. So if think about it, it'd be great. If they came, perhaps we'll come along with them as well. So make a whole day of it. We'll do Hebraic teaching during the morning and the theatre in the evening. Yeah. But right, where are we? So Foundations 11. Okay, yeah. So it never ends. Just never ends for us or for me. We've already got three bookings, so we're selling out fast. This is 5 months' time in the Hayes. Those of you who know the Hayes, it's the biggest Christian conference centre in the country. Rooms are standardised rooms, so no little quirkinesses. Some of you may have had little quirkinesses here, but there it will be. It's standardised. It's a proper conference centre, and we're taking bookings, taking deposits. Now, there's one element I haven't mentioned yet, but it's in the advert. You may have seen in the small print. We're talking about it's going to be one new man, because I just feel it's something there's a lot of confusion about and a lot of extreme expressions, and it'll be great to bring all our esteemed teachers along to wrestle with the subject, apart from one who may be in Africa, but we'll see about that, Mr. Searle. He'd rather go to Africa. There you go. But We're going to have a Purim party. Okay, on the Friday night, the Purim party will be, I wrote a drama many, many years ago. It's been performed all over, and I've just dug it up again. And what we're going to do is, once we've got a few delegates, any delegate that wants to have a part in it, I'll send them the script. We won't have any rehearsals. So when you turn up, you'll have the script. You don't have to learn it. You can just carry the script with you. It would be great if you actually dressed up in the part as well. So who's going to be Haman? Well, I think we've got a Haman here already. And we have a Haman and an Esther. Here we go. Right. So, of course, everyone will want to be Mordecai, so I'm going to be the narrator, so I'll avoid all that. But yeah, we'll be looking for Mordecai. And there's lots of other, there's a eunuch that's in it. So, I'm not looking at you, Robert. I'm not looking at you. Right. He's laughing. So that's an extra incentive to come, because it'll be a real fun occasion. We'll bring rattles and we'll make a lot of noise. And I think the fun thing is, those of you who come in costume, you have to go for the meal in the conference centre in your costume, because there'll be a lot of other Christian groups there as well. So that'd be a bit of fun. Right. Okay. Right. Okay, down to a few more practical matters here. Thanks for those of you who, I think those of you who crowdfunded my books, you should have had your books given to you already here. I don't think we've got any left apart from Pat's, and we're going to do something special with Pat's books. But we still need more, because it's now, that's got that book out of the way. The next book, I still need another 30 crowdfunders. I'm not saying, we're not going to, lock the doors until you all cough up. but just think about it. There'll be an email about it. And that's basically, we're looking for, if someone can buy 10 books for £100 or 5 books for 50, it's simply to pay the printing costs, because we just don't have the money. You have to pay these things up front to the printers or they don't get printed. So it's just how we are. That brings on to the money situation. We literally live from day to day. And those of you who went to George's talk, and he talked to you about the big hack attack that we had in April and May, which finished literally hours after getting a WhatsApp from Ginny to say she's now starting to pray and fast. That day, the problem was solved. after 2 months, why couldn't we have done that earlier? Poor old George spent 300 hours trying to fix it. And then as soon as Ginny started praying and fasting, God gave him the wisdom to look at one particular element, and the whole thing was solved. So there you go. Power of prayer. We don't do it enough, do we? But what's happened as a result of that is that our server costs have gone up by 40%. We have to pay now every October £1,300 just for the server. And we were sponsored by a fellowship, and they've now pulled out. So next October, we have to find more money. So it really costs us £1,000 a month just to run the ministry. And we have a subscription on the website, and we just ask people to send like £5 a month. But even then, we've only got 40% of what we need. So I really don't know where the money comes in, but we managed to survive because the Lord supplies. But if you want to be part, of the solution rather than the problem, then just pray about this, because it is a real thing for us. We do rely on support, because book sales are ridiculous. My salary at Sauld is a big fat zero, as is David's. all of us that work on Sauld, no one gets paid. You see these magazines, but the subscriptions for that is just too low. It's just enough to pay the printing costs, basically. So this is the world that we live in. Welcome to our world, it's David. Yeah. I think. Do you want to have a? Well, I mentioned Saul. Do you want to? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's better. Thank you. This tapping the microphone reminded me of of the bishop who made a visit to a church and everybody got the responses wrong, and the audio system broke down. If it could go wrong, it went wrong. The vicar was mortified, and 4 years later, the bishop came back, and the vicar said to his curate, "For goodness sake, check the sound system, please. And I want everybody drilled. I want these responses absolutely perfect." So the bishop duly mounted the pulpit, tapped the microphone, nothing happened. And in a mischievous stage whisper that was meant to be heard over the whole church, he said, "There seems to be something wrong with the microphone." And the entire congregation said, "And also with you." That was humour, as opposed to Robert laughing a minute ago. that was hysteria. Okay. Well, folks, Steve is absolutely right. Nobody who works on sword receives any remuneration for it, except the printer. And the printer himself is a remarkable guy. He's a leader in a very big church in Glasgow. He's 100% behind this magazine, which is tremendous. And so even the charges from the printer are ridiculously low compared to what we would pay if we had to go the full whack. We've got a fantastic team of writers, including Paul there, and David, and Peter Sammons, and Michael Oakley's got something on the go, I know, and can't wait to see what that's going to be. And Steve, of course, is... Steve was the managing editor for the last edition. We've got three managing editors. I worked on this kind of solo for 18 years, and then suddenly the Lord answers my prayers with three at once. So I've got managing editors like London buses. I'm thrilled to bits about these guys, because, to be honest, if it weren't for Steve and for Michael, for Peter Sammons... Frankly, the magazine wouldn't be publishing right now, because I couldn't carry it anymore on my own. And these guys have literally rescued the magazine, rescued me. And I'm grateful to the Lord for that. So it's quite tremendous. Let me just say something about what Sword seeks to do. If you were to read Sword and enjoy it so much that you stopped reading the Bible, Sword would be a complete failure. Okay? Because the whole purpose of this magazine is to encourage folks to be Berean, to read what the writers have got to say, what the teachers have got to bring, and then go home like the good Bereans and search the scriptures for yourself to see if these things are so. Okay, that's exactly what the magazine intends to do. We're trying to get people into the Word, and into the Word with confidence, because basically what we're saying is there is no such thing as redundant scripture. If God has put it on his page, you need to do something with it. Okay, there's no redundant scripture. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable. And by the way, when Paul said that, he was talking about the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, not the New Testament, because he was busy writing it. Okay, so this is Sword. It just exists to help people come to grips with the strap line on the front cover explains it all, basically, the unchanging Word of God, unchanging Word of God, for an unyielding faith. Now, that's what we're all going to need in the days to come. I think we've seen enough of that this conference, that if our faith is real biblical faith, it will not give ground. It will not yield. It's the enemy who needs to back off, not the saints. Okay? It's the enemy who needs to back off. So... last night I was feeling like death warmed up because some kind Christian brother or sister gave me their cold, and so I was pacing about the bedroom feeling sorry for myself, and then the Lord said, "Why are you fighting from below? Start fighting from above." And it totally changed my perspective, and I moved from Ephesians 1 into Ephesians 2 and realized that the reason the Ephesians 1 is all about Jesus, absolutely all about Jesus, is because Ephesians 2 says that Jesus is all about us. He Everything Father has done for the head, he has done for the body. And we've been raised up and seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, and we do our fighting from above. I have a friend who signs every email with the sign-off line is, keep looking down. Keep looking down, okay? Let's just give the enemy a hard time. But that's not our primary purpose. Our primary purpose is to glorify Jesus and raise his name high. So sword exists for that. There are still loads of free copies. If you want to take some away and just give them out, that's fine. And by the way, there's one last thing I need to point out to you. On the inside front cover, give me a sec. On the inside front cover, there is a little paragraph that says, freely give. Is there someone in your circle of friends or ministry network who would like to receive sword but is unlikely to be able to afford the subscription? Our determined policy is that no one will be excluded from reading sword because of straitened circumstances. Please contact our office, the phone number's here, to nominate someone for a free regular subscription to the address you provide. And that goes for yourself, by the way. If you're on a low income and you want sword and you think you can't afford it, phone the number and we'll send you a free subscription for life. Okay? Assuming that God keeps giving the magazine life for the foreseeable future. So thank you. Thanks, Steve. Oh, there's one other thing.
There's always one. There's one other thing. And finally.
3 points in conclusion, is that right? Our brother Michael Oakley redesigned this magazine from the ground up. He not only redesigned the magazine and does the layout and graphics every time it comes out, but on top of all that, he very foolishly took on the managing editor's hat as well for one edition, and he's still here, but only because of God's grace. And so we want to take the pressure off him. We're grateful that Michael was willing to do that, but it's not a good idea for future. So we actually need to have one more managing editor so that each editor does two editions of the magazine per year. Okay? So pray about that, please. We need to find the right person for that so that Michael can concentrate on graphics and design, which he's superb at. Michael, do you want to take just 30 seconds to say what your ethos was for redesigning this?
Impossible. 30 seconds.
And I'm going to go and sit down just to take the worried look off Steve's face.
We're definitely cancelling
the thing. The thing that worried Steve was the 30 seconds,
yeah,
wasn't it, Steve?
Starting now.
Yes. it may not seem obvious, but sword and the difference between the two emphasises word. And there are lots of Christian magazines. I picked one up, big double-page spread from the Archbishop of Canterbury. Two-thirds of that spread was a picture of him. But we don't know what he looks like. And he had a column and a quarter of text. Well, that may be the modern magazine way, but it has that man so little to say, or have the editors given him so little to say. This is the opposite. The primary purpose of this is text. And that's why we don't really have coloured pictures. It's not about pictures as such. It's about the power of the text, simply because it contains the power of Scripture and the power of God's Word. And that's the ethos behind.
Yeah. Good, well done. Good. Yeah. There is another aspect to sort, because there is another possible vacancy, again, something you should pray about, an administrator. We've had an administrator, David has, for 30 years, 20 years, 80. Oh, 18. Right. 18 years, which is long enough. It is long, seems like 80, but I think he's coming to the end of his, he's just, it's just too much for him. So again, it's just someone who can administrate, that's all. Great salary, perks, car, booper, you know, you'll be on the same salary scale as David. So again, you know, if there's something that speaks to you.
Quickbooks.
Yeah.
It's a
bookkeeping. Yeah. Okay, QuickBooks. Okay, so pray about that. Right. Oh, dear. I'm on the wrong page now. I just want to say just a few things about our ongoing things that we have. Because we do stuff, not for ourselves, but for other people. And unfortunately, other people either don't know about it or, you know, are not bothered. but we do have this fantastic fellowship evening, every Monday evening. In fact, not this Monday, we're actually going to cancel it because we're not actually around. But from Monday week, all you need to have is one of these or an iPad or a computer or anything. And all you need to do is click on one link and you are there. You're on the screen. Your video feed there with maybe a dozen other people or 20 other people, and it's a fantastic time for fellowship. We have two people here who take turns. We have Christine and Nigel are sort of just run it very, 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 very loosely in the background just to push the thing along. But it really is, those of you who are starved of fellowship in particular and want to keep the foundation thing going in terms of being with like-minded people, this is for you. It's just so simple. You can go to it if you've got a subscription, or if you're able to get onto the Salt Shakers website. There's a link from the front page where it will tell you when the next meeting is and what you have to do when the 7 o'clock on Monday comes along. So come along, not this Monday, but Monday week, and it'll be great. We can talk about what's happened here, and make all the others nice and jealous. You know, because, why not? So that's the first thing. But the other thing, even more exciting, where is he? Paul? Oh, yeah, over there. Do you want to say something, or shall I just... Yeah. Well, those of you who have been to his sessions know that he has this strange teaching gift. When I say strange, I mean strange in the wonderful sense. He's a fantastic teacher, and he revels on interactivity. And the beauty of this Zoom system that we use, it's the same system as on the Monday, is that you can interact with him as he teaches. So, again, that week, 2 weeks' time on a Thursday, every Thursday until the rapture, Paul will be there at the end of this camera in his little office, teaching endlessly, a torrent of teaching. You can join it at any time. It's not going to be... They're all going to be one-off teachings, so if you miss a few, it doesn't matter. Just come in, and Paul will be there with his PowerPoint, and you can actually interact with him. You can put your hand up, and he'll answer your questions, and it will be taped as well, so you can listen to it afterwards. So again, it's this free thing that we're offering Thursday, and it's clicking on the link. So I presume most of you, if not all of you, get our newsletters. So just pay more attention to the newsletter, just scroll down a bit and see there are quite a lot of things that go on, and just turn up for these Mondays and these Thursdays, because,
Can you just confirm this is the start at 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock, yeah. So it's 7 to 8.30. We say 7 to 8.30, but sometimes it finishes about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. You know, I'm going to bed and the computer's still on there, yapping away. I have to turn the thing off at the end of it. You know, so there you go. That's it. And those of you who live in London, we have this thing called the Modine meeting, which we started in March with Richard Tideman, who was here briefly on Monday night. And it's like Foundations, but in the 3-hour period, once a month, in Cleveland Street, All Souls Clubhouse. The first Friday of every Hebrew month. So we're sort of celebrating the beginning of each Hebrew month. So there'll be a little bit of teaching, but the point is that Paul and I don't prepare anything, and there's absolutely no structure to it at all, so anything can happen. And I think Paul's got a testimony later on about, you know, things that have happened then. So again, just turn up if you're in the London area. I think we've had one or two of you have been there before, but do come, because Sometimes we get 25, sometimes we get 4. So, and the next one is this Friday, isn't it? Oh, dear, Friday. Well, Paul would be there. Right, so we're almost there now. I think that's more or less it. Just to say, we still have the post boxes, those of you who haven't posted in your box. And my final thing is, which we always do this, we do have our own traditions. I know traditions can be a little bit of a divisive area or a confusing area, but we have our foundation's tradition of the challah bread. Okay, so we have two loaves here, and without getting overly religious, it's just something about, it's just fellowshipping. It's just, for me, it symbolises foundations have been here before and newcomers. So that's why, the two loaves. So it could be Jew and Gentile, or it could be old foundations and new foundations. But the point is that from this point onwards until the end of the conference, do come up, take some bread, share it, just bless each other. So we're going to talk more about blessings, and that could be a feature of the... We can talk about that a little bit later. So that's it. So any time from now on, just come up and just share the bread with each other. Okay, well, that's me finished. So you want to get ready now, or...?
Yep.
Are you ready now? Yep.
Yay!
On to the real thing at last. He's got rid of me. Talking is over. Yay! His mum told him to do that. Do you want this?
No.
We've got a microphone.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just a brief explanation of what you're going to see.